It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Do you feel that? Yeah, can you feel it? But probably best to be able to feel it if you're sitting down right now, especially if you're a dude with a wallet. And if you're a gal, you might feel it on the purse you have over your shoulder. But whether it be your pants or what you're carrying over your shoulder, guy or gal, it's feeling a little lighter right now, isn't it? That wallet's a little lighter in your back pocket. That purse isn't quite as heavy in your hand or over your shoulder. And you have nobody else to thank but the incompetence of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta and his lieutenants, so on and so forth, down the chain of command. And the shortcomings, to put it kindly, of the culture created by Kirk Ferentz's football program that's now going to cost you, me, and all of us taxpayers in this lovely state of ours $2 million for what is now, count it, Gary Barta, under the leadership of Gary Barta, the Iowa Athletic Department's fourth settled discrimination lawsuit. Yes, fourth, for those of you keeping track at home. And I think maybe plenty of you have heard already with our great partners, Radio Iowa, that our auditor, Rob Sand, who, albeit, if you want to say stick to sports after I say this, be my guest, but I'll put it out there. I don't vote straight ticket. I don't. Rob is a Democrat I voted for, and for good reason, because I don't see him. Or I'll put it this way, I see him playing that unfortunate politic game of DRR a whole lot less than many others in this state. And that's not to, it just is what it is. And thankfully, Rob Sand has the spine to go out and say, this is wrong and I'm going to vote against it. Apparently, our state appeals board is only three individuals. I suppose shame on me for not understanding that. Welcome in. This is how we're getting started on a Monday edition of Cole and Company. I am your host, Colbert. It is March 6th of 2023rd, and taxpayer dollars, money coming out of your back pocket because Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta, under his leadership, has now seen a fourth, discrimination lawsuit settled. And I think we're somewhere in the $7 to $8 million range in terms of settlements. Now, albeit, this is the first one where Iowa has not paid it out of its general fund. They've gone by the nature of the way this was settled. It basically fell on the Board of Regents' lap. And by nature of that, the taxpayers are now on the hook. And Rob Sands said earlier today that he was going to vote against it. Apparently, the other two people on the state appeals board are getting, I don't want to make any allegations, but we'll just say they don't have a spine like Rob Sand does. Here's a little bit from our state auditor on this nonsense.
This is now the fourth discrimination settlement while Gary Barta has been the athletic director at the University of Iowa. Enough is enough. There's a certain point at which an institution needs to communicate to the public that it isn't just a group of insiders protecting each other. And that's what I think this settlement feels like unless BART is gone.
Here's a little bit more from Iowa State Auditor Rob Sand, who voted against $2 million of your tax dollars going to settle something you had nothing to do with, discrimination within the Iowa football program.
The easiest way to save taxpayers' money is to have the people who are most personally responsible for these kinds of decisions taking care of them and having some accountability themselves. I think it's important that we make sure that people understand that discrimination is not only morally wrong, but that discrimination too is financially foolish. You're costing the athletics department and costing taxpayers money when you do this kind of thing. And if we're going to hold people accountable, if we're going to prevent additional individuals from becoming victims of discrimination, if we're going to protect taxpayers, we have to, at a certain point, demand more personal responsibility for this kind of thing.
And I'm guessing a whole lot of you, because you listen to sports talk, you do it because you don't want to get too wrapped up in this political BS. But I tell you what, I thought Rob Sand did a hell of a job with what he had to say and how he approached this. We've got this three-person state appeals board. He's the only one with a spine on it who goes, enough is enough, man. How many, rhetorical question, how many more damn discrimination lawsuits need to happen under Gary Barta's watch for that man's head to roll? And I don't know Gary Barta personally. He very well could be a nice man if you knew him personally, a good neighbor, a good guy to shake hands with at church on Sunday. But dude, you've not done a great job as Iowa's athletic director, and that's putting it lightly. That's about as nice as me or anybody else could say it. What does this guy need to do, short of committing a murder, to lose his damn job? For the life of me, I don't understand this. And the fact, it's really something. It tells you something about our justice system, that the way this is settled, it just falls in the lap of the Board of the Regents and the taxpayers. And Brian Ferentz, Chris Doyle, Kirk Ferentz, nobody has to atone for anything. There's no penalty. There's no fine. Nothing. Taxpayers got to pay for all of those hours billed from these lawyers who obviously settled. Settled in a way in which they're acknowledging guilt. There's some level of guilt acknowledged. I understand. I know way too little about the justice system and all that. But you don't settle if you're not guilty. You take it to court. And they settled. And I don't want to, other shows are going to spend a lot of time on this. There's a lot of other good stuff going on. Way too much other good stuff going on right now at this point in the sports calendar. So I just figured we dive in this deep into the pool. I'd bring it up. I'd let you hear from the state auditor, Rob Sand. And, you know, colleagues of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette are doing a great job reporting on this. Our partners at Radio Iowa doing a great job. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of other people out there, certainly smarter than me, that you can dig into more on this. But like I said, if something felt a little off when you stood up from your desk at work or when you threw your purse over your shoulder to leave work today, that's because $2 million of your tax dollars are paying off the fourth discrimination lawsuit settled under Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta's watch with this settlement of the Iowa football players who had sued over racism and mistreatment during their time with the University of Iowa football program. So that's that. No easy way to segue out of it. But like I mentioned before, thanks for being here. Monday edition of the show. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks for being here. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan, and bookmark the website. You get all sorts of local, statewide sports content there. 1650thefan.com. Dial me up, 319-277-1918. With any questions or comments you may have, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you can email the show, cole@1650thefan.com. Send me an email with questions or comments. Maybe something or someone you'd like to hear about or from on a future show. The plan today, like usual, I got a stack of area sports news and scores to get to. I'll do that here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we will take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday. Looking into tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll come back in the second segment, be joined like usual by Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters. Big win for the Cyclones, who had their backs against the wall, both on the court, off the court, with everything going on in that program, and they respond with a big win at then number 7 Baylor on Saturday to sweep that regular season conference series. So we'll talk about that, and of course preview the Big 12 conference tournament coming up later this week as the Cyclones will head to Kansas City, or as they like to call it, Hilton South. And John will join us in the next segment to break all that down. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break. In the third segment, we'll hear audio from Darren DeVries. His Drake Bulldogs won the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Championship yesterday. They thumped Bradley. And I was pretty surprised to see that, and credit the Bulldogs. I really did take pleasure in seeing CBS on the broadcast pointing out just how old that Drake team is, older than 5 NBA lineups the Drake Bulldogs are, and there's something to be said for the advantage that comes from that. But you also have to be good, so really happy for Darren DeVries and his Bulldogs. We'll hear some audio from him. Also got some great audio from you and I, men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. I hope to get to a lot of it. That's a big reason why I wasn't going to continue to rant about the nonsense of Gary Barta continuing to have employment after today's news, because Coach Jake was great today, not only about wrapping up the, you know, what took place in this 2022-23 you and I men's basketball season, but we got into the everything that goes on right now with the net rankings and, you know, 17-win Power 5 conference teams versus the 26-27-win mid-major team, scheduling dynamics, so on and so forth. I want to make sure we got time to hopefully get to plenty of that. If we don't, I'll get to it at some point this week, but going to give it the old try here as I got to get through this, get to this area, sports news and scores, plenty in the stack, but Coach DeVries, Coach Jacobson, we'll hear from them coming up in the third segment today. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time, wrap up a Monday edition of the show. All right, the Dyke New Hartford girls basketball team completed a historic season with a 64-49 win over Central Lyon in the Class 2A championship game in the state basketball tournament on Saturday. The Wolverines finished the season 26-1, third straight title for Dyke New Hartford. Next year, DNH will attempt to become just the third team all-time to win 4 consecutive state titles. Dyke New Hartford's Peyton Peterson named to the all-tournament team as captain for the third consecutive year in 3 games. She scored 59 points and grabbed 45 rebounds. That amounted to 3 straight double-doubles. Her teammate and sister Jaden was also named to the all-tournament team. Meanwhile, today at the boys' state basketball tournament in Class 1A, Dunkerton saw its season come to an end, falling short 87-63 to West Harrison. You heard that game right here on The Fan. The Hawkeyes dominated the glass, out-rebounding the Raiders 46-15. Dunkerton was led by Casey Gardner, who scored 25. Preston Gillespie added 19. Raiders in their spectacular season, 24-2. Waverly Shellrack has hired a new volleyball coach. Bethany Rewerts, who was previously an assistant with the program, has been hired to guide the Go Hawks. His head coach takes over for longtime coach Evan Wooden, who announced a retirement in January as the state's all-time leader in wins and had been at WSR for 34 years. The Big 12 Wrestling Championships finished up last night. Missouri won its second consecutive team title. Oklahoma State finished in second. Iowa State was third. UNI 7th. Iowa State had 2 champions, Panero Johnson at 149 and David Carr at 165. It was the fourth Big 12 title for Carr. Meanwhile, UNI's Parker Keckeisen won the 184-pound title, his third Big 12 championship, a program record. Penn State won the Big Ten Wrestling Championships yesterday. Iowa finished in second. Hawkeyes had two champs, Spencer Lee at 125, Riel Woods at 141. Lee was named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Year and Most Outstanding Wrestler of the Championships. Yesterday at the Big Ten Conference Women's Basketball Tournament, Caitlin Clark recorded her 10th career triple-double as Iowa defeated Ohio State 105-72 for that championship. Clark, 30 points, 17 assists, 10 rebounds. Monica Sinano added 26. Iowa now 26-6 overall, awaits its seed in the NCAA tournament. Maybe this is an indication of Iowa getting on the one line as the Hawks took a big jump in this week's AP Women's Top 25, going from 7th to 2nd. South Carolina once again number 1. Iowa State dropped out of the Top 25 but did have 57 votes. C.J. Wilcher broke a tie with 5 key points late as hot shooting Nebraska defeated Iowa 81-77 yesterday to close out the Big Ten regular season. Patrick McCaffrey came off the bench and had 23 to lead the Hawkeyes. The loss ended Iowa's 7-game home winning streak. Big Ten Conference Tournament begins Wednesday in Chicago. Hawks don't get a double bye anymore, but they will get a one-round bye. 4 Iowa State men's basketball players named to the All-Big 12 teams by league coaches. Senior Gabe Coucher earned second-team honors, named to the All-Defensive team as well. Jaron Holmes, named honorable mention, also earned a spot on the newcomer team. Senior Oshunee also earned Big 12 honors as an honorable mention, and freshman Taman Lipsy picked up a spot on the Big 12 all-freshman team. The Wartburg women's basketball team is preparing for the NCAA Division III Sweet 16. The 24th-ranked Knights will face number 1 Christopher Newport this Friday in Boston, Massachusetts. Wartburg opened the NCAA tournament this past weekend with wins over a pair of ranked opponents. The Knights are competing in the Sweet 16 for the first time since the 2018-19 season. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we talk Iowa State men's basketball with play-by-play voice John Walters. That's next on a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
Well, nearly a month after being released by the Raiders, Derek Carr has settled in a new home, reportedly signing a 4-year deal with the Saints. Frank Clark, after helping the Chiefs to a second Super Bowl, is reportedly going to be released. He was due $21 million next year and would count over $28 million on the salary cap. Also being cut loose is Eric Kendricks by the Minnesota Vikings. He was their leading tackler last year, while the Rams and pass rusher Leonard Floyd are ready to part ways as well. The Cowboys hoping to work out a deal with Tony Pollard, but in the meantime, using the franchise tag on their running back, will get over $10 million next year. The Nuggets are running away with the Western Conference and will go for their 4th straight tonight against the Raptors. They're now 6.5 games in front of the Grizzlies after beating Memphis over the weekend, while Toronto is 9-3 over its last 12 as they try to improve their standing in the East, currently 9th behind the Heat and Hawks, who will meet tonight in Miami. And the Celtics try to recover from last night's double overtime loss when they face the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Houston remains number 1. UCLA is the new number 2 team in the nation, followed by Kansas, Alabama, and Purdue. I'm Rich Eckert.
This is Zach Gelb. Catch me at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific to talk sports right here on CBS Sports Radio.
From high school to college to the pros. Get your team here on 1650 The Fan, KCNZ.
I'm Roger Klinkvist, owner and operator of Metro Transmission in Waterloo, Iowa. I like rebuilding transmissions. I've been doing it for many, many years. Just a challenge to do them and put them in and they work properly, and that's satisfying. We do any kind of auto repair other than tires, body work, or painting, any mechanical work we do. Most of my customers are word of mouth, and they have to trust that you're going to do a good job for a reasonable price.
Trust Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on the corner of 10th and Jefferson, Waterloo. At Waterloo Schools, we believe in bold ideas, bold goals, bold ambitions, and taking bold steps to help our students achieve their dreams. This month, we're celebrating some major achievements in winter sports and extracurriculars, like Waterloo West's Hallie Polk just broke the Wahawk all-time scoring record and reached the 2,000-point milestone. Then, at the Tall Corn Jazz Festival, Waterloo West and East performed masterfully, with East's Braden Peterson and Blazin' Barbie McLemore bringing home the Outstanding Soloist Award for their performances. And our student athletes from East and West made it to state in wrestling, and our girls and boys bowling teams made it to the state bowling tournament as well. We're celebrating these wins and more as we make our way through the championship season for our winter sports. But it all starts in the classroom, where at Waterloo Schools, we inspire students to go beyond doubt and fear, to persevere and be bold. Join us at waterlooschools.org.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Purdue, the +150 favorite to win the Big Ten tournament title at United Center in Chicago. Iowa is 22-1. The Hawkeyes will open up with the winner of the Wisconsin-Ohio State matchup on Wednesday. In the Big 12, Iowa State +650 to win the tournament. They take on Baylor +450 on Thursday in the quarterfinal round. Kansas Jayhawks are the 3-1 favorite to win the Big 12 tournament. Cactus League baseball today, the Cubs +110 against the Mariners. Mariners laying $1.30 as the home favorite. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 29. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, 45. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 31. Upper 30s Wednesday and Thursday with mixed precipitation possible both days. About an inch of snow Wednesday through Wednesday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 38.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM, and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. And Saturday, right here on The Fan, we were treated to the Iowa State men's basketball team going on the road to Waco and getting a big win over then number 7 Baylor. Just the type of get-right win that the Cyclones needed, not only before the conference tournament, but before the NCAA tournament. And like usual, on a Monday at this time, John Walters, the play-by-play voice for the Iowa State men's basketball team, kind enough to join us. John, as always, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Cole.
Hey, thanks for being here. And this is fun. This is a lot better than the last couple of weeks trying to make sense of some struggles for T.J. Otzelberger's team. Obviously, that's been a large part of the conversation, both on-court and off-court struggles, but the Cyclones circle the proverbial wagons in Waco. And John, just tell me, what did you like most from an impressive 73-58 win against the Bears?
Boy, it's hard to name one thing, because I like so many things about it. But I will say this, I think it was a great team win with team capitalized. And these guys are so much better collectively than they are individually. You know, I saw the Big 12 team come out, and there was not an Iowa State player on the first team. Thankfully, Gabe Kelscher did get recognized with second team All-Big 12. But this is a team where I've said many times, and I continue to stand by this, that the collection, the sum of the parts is better than the individual parts. Mm-hmm. And what they can do collectively against teams that have maybe more talented players is what makes college basketball one of my favorite sports, because it is the ultimate team game. There's five players, there's one ball, they have to share it, they have to figure out how to work together offensively and defensively, and I think it really is the ultimate team sport. And when you have guys bought into playing together as a team, you can do some really special things, even if the other guys have more guys going to the NBA than you do and all the other intangibles. You've got that huge intangible of togetherness, and I think that's what we saw come together for Iowa State on Saturday in Waco.
So, John, as much as that kind of the tumultuous nature of the past few weeks, especially this past week, could have, you know, kept things going in the wrong direction, this team, I mean, what's there to say about what I think more than anything just speaks to mental resolve that despite the fact they've been challenged by an incredibly tough Big 12, the dismissal of Caleb Grill, that the idea of them bouncing back and not only, you know, winning at Baylor, but having success in the Big 12 tournament, being able to make another run in the NCAA tournament, none of that's off the table.
Oh, it's very much on the table. And, you know, the famous Yogi Berra quote is, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And that's what these guys did. They took the right fork and the right path under some adversity. And, you know, it is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to pull you apart or bring you together. And I think it brought these guys together. And I think TJ pushed all the right buttons. I mean, when you think about the fact that he played every guy in the first half, and he told them before the game, each and every one of you is going to play. And he was including Conrad Hawley, the chief energy officer, whose career high is 1 point at Missouri. And Conrad played in the first half in a meaningful part of the game. And, you know, everybody did. They all played. And it was awesome. And they played well. And it just energized the whole bench. And you could just see this positive vibe carried throughout the game. And, you know, I'm not saying they can recapture that every single time out, but these guys are engaged. And when they're into it like that and playing great defense, and you look at, you know, the two games against Baylor, Iowa State has held them to their two lowest point totals of the year, 62 and 58. They were ranked to the top 10 in both those games. They'll be ranked to the top 10 when Iowa State plays them again on Thursday.
Yeah.
They're number 10 on the AP poll today. And they beat them by 15 points twice. I mean, that's against a really good, talented Baylor program. So, you know, those are great wins. And Iowa State was able to beat Texas and Kansas and Kansas State and Baylor and TCU twice. They have wins against all these top teams in the league. It just had to kind of recapture some of that mojo that they had early in the season. I think they were able to do that on Saturday.
John Walters, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Follow John on Twitter at JW Cyclones TV. And John, before we talk a little more about the Big 12 men's basketball conference tournament, Ashley Jones announced not too long ago, I see here from the Big 12's Twitter account, named the player of the year in the conference. And I mean, what can you say about Ashley Jones that hasn't been already? I mean, we're talking about the greatest to put the uniform on, right, in program history for Bill Finley's team.
And that's a big statement if you say that. And I don't argue it. You know, I mean, you could make a case for Angie Welly or Bridget Carlton or Allison Lacey or a number of other players that were outstanding. Megan Taylor, Stacey Freeze. It's a long list of great players who have played under Bill Finley. But, you know, Ash is closing in on 3,000 points. She's, I think, probably going to win the Cheryl Miller Award three times to be a national All-American and then Big 12 Player of the Year. I mean, how cool was it that the Player of the Year in the Big 10 and the Player of the Year in the Big 12 are both homegrown Iowans who stayed home and played in their home state? That's really awesome. And, you know, Ash is just the thing that amazes me most about her is all those numbers we've talked about, all those awards we've talked about, she still goes after every loose ball like it's the most important thing in her life. And that's if they're up 20, down 20, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that she plays so hard that separates her from everybody else. I mean, yes, she has talent. Yes, she does a lot of things that a lot of players can't do. But what she really does is play harder than anybody else on the floor and go after every rebound like she's going to get it. And when you combine her talent with that kind of want to, you have a unique and very special player, and that's exactly what she is.
All right, John, let's dive into this Big 12 men's conference basketball tournament. I mean, for as much as sports gambling has become prevalent, legalized across this country of ours, I'm no expert. That can be said again and again, but I just think it'd be foolish to be putting anything besides maybe a few bucks down on any of these games. I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time crapshoots that we got coming up in Kansas City, right?
Well, it is a crapshoot. I mean, look at it from an Iowa State perspective. I just mentioned they've beaten the top five teams in the league, and they've beaten one of them twice in TCU, other than themselves, okay? They also lost twice to Oklahoma State, lost twice to West Virginia, lost to Texas Tech, lost to Oklahoma. So their record is better against the top five teams in the league than it is against the four teams below them. And so is that the definition of a crapshoot? I think pretty much absolutely. Now, the good news is Iowa State's probably only going to play the best teams in Kansas City. I mean, your likely path is Baylor, Kansas, Texas. So win those three, and you can add three more top 10 wins to your resume, which is already the best in the country as far as five top 10 wins this season. Add three more, you've got eight, and you make it a pretty strong case for a nice seed in the NCAA tournament. But, yes, it is a crapshoot. You know, West Virginia is capable of beating anybody. I think TCU is capable of beating anybody. I think Iowa State can win this tournament. We've seen them do it before from that 5-4 game. A couple of times I think they've done it from that 5-4 game. And I love the draw because that noon game, 11:30 game on Thursday, if you do happen to win it, gives you an extra couple of hours of rest before you come back the next night at 6. And I think it's an advantageous draw to be in that slot. So, you know, we'll see, but one at a time, and got to get a third win against Baylor, which is a tall task, but based on what we've seen in the first two meetings, I think they feel confident they can do it.
Let's wrap with this, John. Having seen Iowa State teams go down there to Kansas City and have tremendous success when they haven't been the favorite, has there been a lot of commonality? I mean, is there some secret in the sauce to going to KC and having success? Because as cliche as it may seem, I mean, you walk into an arena during tournament basketball, it's a whole different ball of wax.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's different if it's the Missouri Valley Conference tournament and
yeah.
You have to win it to ensure that you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. You know, Iowa State's in a position, and a lot of these teams are from the Big 12, but they go down there with not a lot of risk and high reward. And if you look at you know, the years that Iowa State's won it, their fans enjoy this tournament so much, you know, and as you keep advancing in the tournament, more and more fans, it's just a convoy coming down I-35, you know, and I can remember when they beat Baylor in the 2014 championship or when they beat West Virginia in the 2017 championship and Fran Fraschilla saying, last person out of Ames, turn off the lights. Well, that's pretty much the truth, you know, because everybody was coming down as the weekend progressed. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, yes, Iowa State has a huge home court advantage when they play in Kansas City. There's no doubt about that. And it's awesome. And they've earned that because their fans show up. So, you know, hopefully that happens again. Obviously, we'll have more fans there than Baylor will. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can take advantage of that and just ride that wave of momentum that they go into with that big win at Baylor the other day. And hopefully the fan base has a great weekend, the players have a great time, and they're able to get it done. But you don't do it without really good players. And, I mean, if you look back at those championship teams, I mean, they all had really good players with yeah. George Niang and Monte Morris and Mariel Sheahock, Marcus Fizer being MVPs of tournament championship wins. So, I mean, you do have to have good players. And I think this team does. But as I said earlier, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it as a team.
Last Cyclone Coaches Corner of the season tonight from 6:30 to 8 tonight, John. We'll, of course, hear it right here on The Fan. Are we getting Coach Otzelberger and Coach Finley?
In that order. And Eric Heft as guest co-host. So, yeah, it'll be a fun one.
All right, John, we'll look forward to the show. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me, Cole.
John Walters, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, kind enough as always to join us on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. We will hear audio from Drake men's basketball coach Darren DeVries on his Bulldogs winning the MVC tournament, as well as UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson putting a bow on the end of the season for the Panthers. It finished on Friday in the quarterfinals against Bradley. That's next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The State Appeals Board has approved a nearly $4.2 million settlement of a racial discrimination lawsuit filed by a dozen former Iowa football players. State Auditor Rob Sand was a no vote. He was against $2 million of taxpayer money being used in the settlement. He also called on the University of Iowa to fire Athletic Director Gary Barta.
This is now the fourth discrimination settlement while Gary Barta has been the athletic director at the University of Iowa. Enough is enough.
The Iowa Hawkeye women are up to second in the latest AP Top 25. The Hawkeyes are coming off a 105-72 win over Ohio State Sunday to win their second straight Big Ten tournament title. The Iowa State women dropped out of the poll. They opened the Big 12 tournament Friday in Kansas City. At the boys' state basketball tournament, the quarterfinals in Class 1A, top-ranked Grandview Christian advanced with a 61-51 victory over New London. This is Radio Iowa.
Across Iowa, you don't have to look far to find a bank that's got your back. From just around the corner to the next town over, hundreds of neighborhood banks are going the distance to ensure your future looks brighter than ever. By providing jobs, supporting local businesses, strengthening communities, and helping your dreams become reality. Here, the life you build is backed by Iowa Banks. See how banks are making a difference near you at iowabankers.com.
I see you finally got a new helmet.
I did. Bought it cheap online. Follow me. We'll turn off here.
I'm right behind you.
Watch the cars. They can be crazy.
Teddy! No! Are you okay? Somebody do something!
Was this young man hit by a car?
Yes, and his helmet is smashed.
It's a brand new helmet.
It's probably a fake.
Fakes cause real harm. You're smart. Buy smart. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Honor the veterans in your life with a banner along the new Veterans Way Art and History Walk in downtown Waterloo. Banners will feature photos of current, retired, or fallen veterans from the Cedar Valley with a link to their story on the web. To include your veteran, apply for an annual banner at waterlooveteransway.com. Banner sponsorship is only $200. Veterans banners are limited. Applications must be completed by March 31st and can be found at waterlooveteransway.com.
At the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, sports and activities are going on year-round. Basketball, volleyball, pickleball, and swimming lessons start soon. Take a class from one of our 40-plus fitness offerings and start your new year off right. Pump some iron, walk on the track, or swim laps in the pool. Have a great time with all your friends at the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, located at 669 South Hackett Road in Waterloo. The YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
Does it run? Does it drive? Great. We'll give you $3,500 guaranteed trade on your next purchase at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls. Hi, I'm Luke Schmidt, General Manager at Community Chevrolet Cadillac, and we've got a great selection for your $3,500 trade. Whether it's new or pre-owned, we've got a full lot ready to find a new home. So if it runs and drives, bring it on over and we'll give you $3,500 trade-in. Simple, straightforward deals guaranteed at Community Chevrolet Cadillac in Cedar Falls.
$3,500 trade guarantee ends March 20th. See dealer for details.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Yesterday, national television on CBS, the Drake Bulldogs punched their ticket to go dancing for the second time in 3 years. Bulldogs took control with an early 12-0 run and crushed regular season champion Bradley 77-51 in the championship of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament down in St. Louis. Drake raced out to a 20-point halftime lead to win its first Valley Tournament title since 2008.
Really proud of our guys. Thought had an unbelievable fight tonight. Played extremely well. Played together. Maybe as complete a game as we've had on both ends of the floor. So incredible moment. Really proud of these guys.
That, of course, is Drake coach Darren DeVries. After losing in the title game the past 2 years, DeVries says that he felt his team was on a mission yesterday.
You know, coming down here for the first time in our 5 years, being healthy was a good feeling, just in terms of when you got to play 3 games in 3 days, that depth is so important. And I think it really showed tonight too for us. You know, our bench came in and gave us great production. And I felt like the last couple of years we got a little worn down, you know, late in the second halves. But today I thought we were able to kind of get a lead, go to our bench and continue to, you know, play the way we were playing and build on it.
The Bulldogs are now 27-7 overall. It's their sixth NCAA tournament bid in program history.
This group of guys up here right now, were incredibly determined to get to this spot. Not today, but a year ago, you know, and that's why they came back. And so for them to be rewarded, you know, for all the work they put in to get to this point and then play the way they did today, I think is pretty special.
Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year Tucker DeVries led Drake with 22 points. Garrett Sturts had 12 as the Bulldogs avenged a loss to Bradley a week ago in a game that decided the regular season championship.
Obviously, we've been here, you know, before, and you've been on the opposite end. And, you know, just today we just came in and we just wanted to play a complete 40 minutes. And, you know, credit to these guys, especially our bench. They all came in locked in, and you know, Bradley's a tremendous team. And, you know, we just played them a week ago, and we just knew it was going to be a dogfight for 40 minutes.
Meanwhile, UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson met the media day today for a final time to wrap up the Panthers' 2022-23 season. It ended at 14-17 overall after a 72-66 MVC tournament quarterfinal loss against Bradley on Friday. I began today's press conference asking Coach Jacobson about his team seeming to refine their level of play from January down in St. Louis, back when they had won 7 of 8 games.
That was great, huh? Had a really good edge to us and a really good bounce in our step. You know, we had a lot of that at Missouri State, you know, a week or so prior. But outside of that, we didn't have nearly as much of it in February. So it was fun to see it. It's not an easy thing to do, you know, once you've had it at that level like we did in January, and then you go that long not having that same level of not only success in terms of winning games, but also you know how you're playing, right? So we went a pretty good stretch knowing that we were going to have to get regrouped a little bit, right? So really like that, you know, with our group. I know we talked about it all year, the lack of game experience, right, the youth on our roster. So to be able to get that win at Missouri State and then go down there and we played, and that's 2 fun games. We did. We played good basketball in both those games.
Given that lack of game experience Coach Jacobson's roster had coming into this season, I asked him what he thought about the young team's development and what became an up-and-down season.
You know, a couple things come to mind. You know, one, man, we learned a lot this year, right? And I would start with what we had to do in November and December to play the way we played in January. Okay? We learned a lot about winning at this level. And because we played pretty good basketball in November and December. They played really hard, and that's something this team did all year. I know we've talked about it in here most Mondays. But we had to learn how to make some plays individually as a team, you know, make plays that are going to help you win the game. And then, you know, ultimately get over the hump and do that. The next thing I would go to in terms of what we learned this year is in order to have success throughout the entire season, especially when you get into conference play, right? So we're sitting at 8-3 and we've got those 3 games, right? Which is when I think about it, look back on it just a little bit, the game at Indiana State's a 1-possession game, the game at Drake's a 1-possession game, and the game here against Bradley, it's 52-50 with 10 minutes to go, and it was close enough late in that game. What to be able to look back on that now for our players, point to it and say, okay, you can go from 8-3 to 11-3. And you're within nine games now. You're either tied for first or a game out of first, and you are with nine to play. I just think that stretch was a pivotal one for us. And then what we saw in February was Bradley, Drake, Belmont, Southern, Indiana State. Those teams didn't make as many mistakes, and that's typical, okay? The teams that are going to win in February are the teams that don't make as many mistakes, and we were still making some mistakes. You know, I think about it in terms of that. Like, we got so much accomplished this year, and then we also were able to be in it in a way of, hey, this is learning about what it takes to have January continue in February. So I just think we learned a ton. The best part, I would say, for us as their coaches is it was a blast. We haven't had very many seasons where our record has been 500 or under, right? We just haven't had many. Usually when you do, it's not that much fun. It was a blast. Does that mean that we like what our record was and where we finished and, getting beat in the quarterfinal game? Well, no. But, there's things that I talk about with our team, and maybe we've talked about it in here, like both things can be true, and in this case, they are.
Next, I asked Coach Jake, what's the status of Austin Fife applying for a medical waiver to gain an extra year of eligibility?
Nothing on the waiver. That gets put together and typically submitted as we get a little bit later, maybe in March, April, when the seasons get done, okay? And I don't know the exact timeline on it. So that's still in process. That's still something that we are going to submit, and Austin still wants to see that through. And then we've got early to mid-April is the next time that we go up and get a checkup at Mayo.
Another injured Panther, Nate Heisey, lost for the season in early November, asked about his return to basketball activity after having had season-ending hand surgery, like I mentioned, back in November. Here's Coach Jake.
Yeah, he's close. He is probably 2 weeks. When we get back from spring break, he's pretty well, 100%, and clear to get going. In terms of, when I say 100%, we'll start with shooting, ball handling, moving around on the court, doing that type of stuff. Not cleared for live one-on-one, three-on-three pickup games. Not cleared for that in 2 weeks, but cleared to take the next step, and that is catching and shooting, moving around, and I don't know how long that phase will be, Cole, if that'll be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before he can then take the next step and get into some live stuff. But everything has gone great.
All right, this is when we got into a much larger conversation, not so much relating to the Panthers. I mean, yes and no, but after discussing the season, I asked Coach Jacobson about the dynamics that are at play right now in college basketball with net rankings that we're seeing a lot of right now. 17-win Power 5 conference teams ahead of mid-majors that have 26, 27, maybe even sometimes 28 wins. Coach Jacobson, here's about 2.5 minutes. I think this will be the last clip we get from Coach Jake on this. I can get to some more of it later this week, hopefully. But here's Coach Jacobson kind of giving a lay of the land and also sharing, some of his own thoughts on where things stand right now with these dynamics in college basketball as it relates to the NCAA tournament and, more than anything, earning at-large bids to it.
Right now, beating Ohio State, and I don't like calling teams out because it isn't about Ohio State, okay? But I'm going to use them because it's going to, I hope, paint the picture a little bit. They're not having the season they thought they were going to have, right? They're not having a great season. But a win against Ohio State is a quad one win. The reason I start there is that's the challenge. The win number isn't the one that they spend the time discussing in the room. Okay, this team was 19 and such, or this team was 18, this team was 17, this team was 27. So that, I don't think that even gets discussed, Cole, in terms of the actual win number, right? They skip right past that too. Now the quad one, quad two, mostly the quad one, right? Well, the teams that are going to have the highest number of quad one games are going to be the teams you're talking about. The Power 5 teams with 17 wins. That's not going to change a whole lot. As much as we would all like to see it change enough to just have there be just a little more of a, just to have a few more of those games, let alone play in those games, outside of the league, getting any of those games at home, right? That went away a long time ago, and that piece isn't going to change. But then the one that has changed even more is the neutral site, you know, even playing on the road in the non-conference has gotten more challenging to get the quad one type opportunities. So, you know, Wisconsin is in that boat, right? You know, where they sit right now, you know, and they've been in the tournament a ton, and they've got a terrific program. This isn't about Ohio State or Wisconsin, but you look at where they're at. I think they're sitting right on that spot, and if I saw it right, if I'm thinking of the right one, the teams that are the quad one wins, they're not great. You know, I mean, if you look at their, they have them. They've got six, seven, or eight, whatever the number is, right? Which if you just said, you know, they've got this many, it's like, oh, wow, that's a lot. But if you look at the teams, right, the teams on their list, I don't know that they're great. That's the biggest challenge. So that would be part one. And I just don't know how much, you know, that I do know. It's not going to change. You know, the Power Five schools and the Big East in particular, the Mountain West to an extent, they're going to have more quad one games by a large number than the rest of the leagues in the country, right?
I'll try to get to more of this audio from Coach Jake. There was a lot of it. We'll get to it later this week on the show, but got to take this final timeout. We'll come back, wrap it up right after this.
Hi, I'm Mike Hamm with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. 319 prospects, 4 days, one story. It was speed. No one improved their stock more on day one than Georgia's Nolan Smith, who ran the fastest 40 time for an edge rusher in combine history, clocking in at a 4.39. Day two, Michigan corner DJ Turner showed out a 4.26 40. That's the fastest of the weekend. Day three, it was the quarterbacks and Anthony Richardson. He was the story of the combine. Not only did he break a quarterback record for the vertical and the broad jump, but he ran a blazing 4.43 40. Not to be outdone was Ohio State's CJ Stroud, who showed some touch, timing, and ball placement that's got him in the conversation for the top pick in April's draft. And then day four, all eyes on Texas running back Bijan Robinson. He ran a 4.46 40. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Budget Bistro is back. Save on area restaurants. Visit 1650thefan.com and get $20 gift certificates for just $14. Area restaurants you already know and maybe some you don't. It's easy. Just click on the Budget Bistro box at 1650thefan.com to see the list with the description of available restaurants and order. $20 gift certificates for just $14. Limited quantities available, so order now.
Hi, I'm Nancy, owner of Karen's Print Right. We've been serving the printing needs of people and businesses in the Cedar Valley since 1983. Our customers know us for quality products, superior design, and a quick turnaround. We print almost anything, banners, yard signs, invitations, forms, brochures, and business cards. We also create rubber stamps and vinyl signage for doors and windows, as well as engraving and embroidery. My team will work hard to capture your vision and help you make a great impression.
Get all your printing needs under one roof at Karen's Print Right in Waterloo.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Ja Morant led the Memphis Grizzlies to the number 2 seed in the Western Conference last season. And although he has matured into an all-star, the young point guard has some maturity issues off the court. He's been in the news quite a bit this season. Earlier this week, it was revealed the star guard was accused of threatening the head of security at a Memphis mall last summer. 4 days later, he was then accused of punching a 17-year-old and flashing a gun during a pickup game at his home in Memphis. If that wasn't enough, the point guard was then seen flashing a firearm on Instagram after the team lost to the Nuggets on Friday night in Denver. The Grizzlies have ruled Morant out indefinitely until the team can get better understanding of the situation. But with all of this talent, Morant needs to get his head on straight off the court, because if the point guard continues down this path, rewarding the all-star with a max extension could be risky business. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. You know our partners, TireRack.com, you know, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, tire decision guide. They test the tires. They've got their own test track where they push tires to the limit. Yeah, those guys. You want a quiet tire with great traction, comfortable ride. Use their results to make an informed choice. They sell only the best, like the full lineup of Michelin tires. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is the home of Cole and Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, as always, for joining us on a Monday. Had some really good audio from UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson in the last segment. If you missed any of it or any of the show, it'll soon be available in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Once again, congratulations to the Dunkerton boys basketball team on a great season. Real pleasure to be able to bring you some coverage of them throughout their season. And listen to the Cyclone Coaches Corner tonight, the final one. Men's coach T.J. Altzelberger, women's coach Bill Finley, between 6:30 and 8. Have a great night, everybody. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.